From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Welcome back, friends, and if this is your first time tuning in, I'm so glad you found us. I'm Billy Foster, the host of the Gay PHX Podcast, and this week, we're officially counting down to one of the biggest weekends of the year, Tidal Wave Weekend in Palm Springs. Whether you've already snagged your room or you're just eyeing those poolside pics, this episode is a splashy pre-party. We've got a little bit of everything: dance floors, healing touch, queer radio legacy, and yes, ticket giveaways. Today, we'll be bringing you three fantastic conversations: the power couple behind Tidal Wave, the magic of Kilted Paws Massage, and the legend of queer broadcasting, Brad Furr of KGay Radio, whose work helped inspire this very podcast. But before we dive into all that, let's talk about the joy happening right here at home. First up, a massive thank you to the Phoenix Gay Men's Choir. Their latest performance wasn't just music, it was magic. The kind that lifts your spirits, fills the room, and reminds you of what it means to be part of something bigger than yourself. And hosting the evening in fabulous form were Moxie and Penny, the Cillin Sisters. It was our first time seeing them live, and we were absolutely obsessed. Their wit, warmth, and sparkle absolutely tied the night together. Bravo, ladies. And if that wasn't enough queer joy for one weekend, we also had our very first booth at the Queer Summer Market. We got to share the mission of Gay PHX, brag about all the amazing things that you, our community, are building, and connect with a whole bunch of new friends. And yes, Jesse from the Queer Center absolutely got dunked in the tank, possibly by me, possibly more than once, but it was all for a good cause and totally worth the splash. And now for some truly powerful news. Thanks to you, our community, the campaign to save Copper Cactus Ranch has officially hit its $100,000 goal. And when you add that to the personal savings that Rich and Bobby have already set aside, that brings the total over $200,000 towards securing the land that makes CCR possible. But the fight isn't over. They still face closing costs, lender selections, insurance hurdles, and of course, everything it takes to seal the deal for good. But Bobby put it best, this isn't just a piece of land. It's a foundation of a dream, a sacred space where men, many for the first time in their lives, can breathe deeply, drop their armor, and simply be. If you'd like to be a part of the next chapter by donating, spreading the word, or even staying out at the ranch, you can do so at coppercactusranch.com. And now, let's talk about giveaways. We're giving away tickets all month long.
And the winner is...
Samantha W. is our very first winner of the pair of tickets to Kesha's Tits Out Tour, coming to Talking Stick Resort Amphitheater on July 6th. Thanks to Live Nation for helping us spread some glitter. Didn't win? We've got another chance for you right now. Enter this week's drawing at gayphx.com, and don't forget you can boost your chances with bonus entries if you follow us, follow Live Nation, and subscribe to this podcast. And don't forget, Oliver Electric is also hooking you up with Diamondback Pride Night tickets for June 27th. That's two epic summer giveaways on one site, gayphx.com. To increase your odds even more, make sure you're following gayphx.com on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky. We'll be dropping on-site giveaways and who knows what else all month long. So settle in, grab something cold, and let's catch up, because Brian's here with your full rundown of what's happening across the valley. Take it away, Brian.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, are you ready to shake off the work week and dive into the fabulous, the furry, and the fun? Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, it's your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. I'm Brian, and every week I bring you Brian's Hot 3, the LGBTQ plus events lighten up the Phoenix scene that you can't miss. From Latoria to Leather to choruses and consoles, we've got a jam-packed week that's serving rainbows with a side of realness. Oh, and this week includes Friday the 13th. So if things get a little witchy, just blame the moon. Let's dive into it. Thursday, June 12th, we have Latoria game night with Rita and Celeste at the Thunderbird Lounge, starting at 8 o'clock. It's not your auntie's Latoria. This is full-on game show realness, hosted by the dazzling Rita and Celeste. You get four rounds of Latoria, three mini-games, there's prizes galore, free to play, and zero cover. Plus, you can shop local vendors that are on the patio, enjoy cocktails and craft beer from the bar. And Ripple also rolls in with free HIV services and onboard the Chariot. They do rapid testing, take-home kits, prep access, and more. That's every Thursday is a party at the Thunderbird Lounge. Then we go to Friday the 13th. Celebrate queer voices and classics from the stage and screen with Curtain Up, a heartwarming concert by Southern Arizona's LGBTQ Plus Chorus. There's going to be three show times to choose from. You have Friday, June 13th at 7, Saturday, June 14th at 7, and Sunday, June 15th at 4 p.m. It's $20 for the early bird and $25 after that. It's free if you have a student ID, and you can get tickets at desertvoices.org. Raise your voice, feel the love, and applaud with pride. Saturday, June 14th is the Rainbow Rumble at Newtown Saloon. Registration starts at 4 p.m. It's on, gamers! Phoenix gamers are back with Rainbow Rumble, a showdown of smart, skill, and sassy competition. It's $5 to enter, prizes for first, second, and third place, plenty of community, laughs, and digital smack talk. Whether you're a joystick warrior or just in it for the vibes, bring your best game face and let's rumble. Whether you're playing to win, singing your heart out, or shouting Latoria, Gay PHX has your week covered. And that's your Brian's Hot 3. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. Catch you next week. Same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Remember, support local, show up queer, and keep shining. For more events, photos, and all things fabulous, head to gayphx.com, your digital HQ for everything fun, local, and queer in the desert. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
4 days, one epic weekend in Palm Springs. Beginning June 18th, it's Tidal Wave 17, Camp Morningwood. The sun is high, the pools are wild, the parties never stop. Drag queen bingo, mixers, nightly dances, including a Pitch the Perfect Tent underwear dance. Surprises at every turn. Bare naked yoga. An exclusive poolside viewing of Maxi Lawau. Drag Super Shiro. Camp Morningwood. Tickets are moving fast. Get yours now at TidalWaveParty.com. Don't wait. That's TidalWaveParty.com. TidalWaveParty.com.
Pride isn't just a weekend.
It's a way of life.
Celebrate all month long
on the Gay PHX Podcast.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
You know that moment when the music shifts and the light catches just right and suddenly everyone's on the same wavelength? That's what today's guest does best. Whether you've danced to his sets at Bear Encounters here in Phoenix or spent wild weekends at Tidal Wave, the massive party weekend he co-produces with his husband David, Danny G has a gift for curating not just a playlist, but an entire experience. From the booth to the production board, Danny and David help shape the sound and spirit of queer celebration across the country. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Danny G and David.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so Danny, when you're behind the decks, how do you know that you've got the crowd locked in?
So I always look up at the crowd to see what they're vibing to. If they're not vibing to something, I will immediately change the song or the key or the tempo to see if we can't get them back up and running again.
So that kind of leads into my next question. Do you build your sets in advance or do you work it based on the crowd's energy? Is it always that way, or do you have like a basic set?
I always, it just depends on the night as far as the theme goes. Like we just did on Sunday, we had SEN or Sin Sunday, which was 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I geared that set with those songs. I never have put together a set playlist. So I had certain songs that I knew that would get the crowd up and going again if they were tired or they were drinking or whatever it is. And I've always had that opportunity where we would give them a little break so they could go to the bar and or go to the bathroom, et cetera, and then bring them back out to party again.
So you have a bank of songs to pull from versus a list that you play off of.
That is correct. And I've never had a, I've never ever had a playlist per se in my career. And I started DJing in 1977.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So is in all those years, is there a moment from one of your sets that still gives you chills when you think about it?
Yes, there was actually there's several. One was playing at Probe in Los Angeles. One was playing in Charlotte, North Carolina with 50,000 watts under me. And, my first time ever playing at Tidal Wave still holds something near and dear to my heart.
That is incredible. So you brought Bear Encounters to Pado's, correct?
I did.
Was it something you had before?
Yeah, we used to do a monthly party in Charlotte called Bear Encounters at the Eagle. I had a residency at the Eagle in Charlotte for 8.5 years, and then the Eagle closed. So we took it on the road to it's not a neighborhood bar, but maybe we could call it a neighborhood bar. And it was called The Woodshed. So imagine being in North Carolina at The Woodshed, right? And it was one of their busiest nights. In fact, one of the bar managers said, this night actually makes the revenue for the whole month. And I really felt blessed because it was always intended for people just to come out and have a good time and be inclusive. So whether you are big or small or hairy or not, just like Tidal Wave, we wanted everybody to have a good time. And when I went to Darren about it at Pat O's, I said, hey, we'd like to do it maybe, you know, once a month, maybe twice a month, you know. And it started out with maybe like 20 or 30 people, and it's become a regular occasion with a lot of people. I'm a little bit humbled by it, and I'm a little bit, I turn red real easily when I talk about those kind of things, just because it's not me and it's not us, but we want to bring that inclusivity to everybody. We want to make sure that if you want to come in and dance and jump up on stage and dance, we're going to cheer you on. If you want to just have a cocktail and mingle with everybody else and just say hi, like they do over in Europe, you know, they stop in at the pub for a couple of hours and they have a drink. That's great too. We want to bring that entertainment to the masses.
So how does DJing a space like Pat O's compare to something that you do at Tidal Wave?
So at Pat O's, we've seen a mix of, like I said, they'll sit down and they'll chat. We want to keep it low in the beginning until it starts to pick up so they can still have some ambient music in the background, maybe something that they wanted to hear or haven't heard, or, you know, bringing back some nostalgia. And then as the night progresses, we make it a little bit livelier and a little bit more fun to dance to, et cetera. Whereas Tidal Wave, unless we're doing one of the dances indoors, the pool party's the same way, right? The pool party, you will see guys get out of the pool or bounce around in the pool and have a good time. So that piece of it is very similar. The piece of the beginning of Bear Encounters and Tidal Waves pool parties are almost identical. It's when you start to get into the dances and you start to get into the evening hours where people want to come and, or they've had a few cocktails and they're ready to shake around, then that's what we do.
When you produce something like Tidal Wave, what's it like building an event of that scale?
Exhausting. So we had, you know, we had 2010 guests from 14 countries last year in Palm Springs. So I always laugh because we send out a Survey Monkey at the end, and somebody said, whoever that guy was at registration was just barking orders, blah, blah, blah. And they were referring to me. So our group of volunteers said, hey, we have to talk to you. And I said, what? And they said, well, this is a survey that we got back. And I said, well, that's because they don't read and blah, blah, blah. And they said, see, I said, okay, you're right. So I gave over the reins to Dave, and Dave handles all the registration, where I handle all the, hey, the bathroom doesn't work. Hey, we're out of toilet paper. Hey, I don't know where to go next. Or hey. And I always laugh because I said, I feel like Lois in The Family Guy. It's Lois, mom, you know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, when I look out and I see everybody having a good time and I see everybody smiling and everybody's having fun, that to me takes all of the mom, Lois. Hey, who's that guy behind the registration that's barking orders, right? That takes it all away. And there was something that always resonates with me, right? It was my first time. I had a business partner before David decided to jump on board, my husband. But I had a business partner, and we did it for 10 years together. And he was just tired because he was exhausted. So I said, okay, I'll keep going. When I first did it, this gentleman came to me and said, can I give you a hug? I got in the pool on a Sunday. Can I give you a hug? I said, absolutely. He said, I just want to say thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, for this. And he like reached out and looked around, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, and watch this. And I get really sentimental talking about this, but he said, honey, would you mind going to get me a beverage out of the pool at the bar? This little guy, 5'5", hairy in a pair of Speedos, just roly-poly guy, just got out of the pool, went up and just walked over, right? And his husband said, he will not wear that in our pool at home.
Aww.
And I immediately just started bawling. I mean, I was like, he said, you've just made this such a welcoming and safe environment for him, that he's willing to put on a pair of Speedos and just get out of the pool in front of, you know, hundreds of people and not even think twice about it. And when I look at the crowd at the bunkhouse, I realize that we can get somebody who's trans or somebody who's bi or somebody who's straight or somebody who's whatever, and they all come in and still have a good time without feeling like this is a man's bar or this is a girl's bar or this is a what bar, right? It's everybody's bar. And that to me just does my heart, like it just makes it like sing.
Well, that's what a tidal wave is. It brings everybody in. Right?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So that to me, and so doing Bear Encounters has been the same way. When you look at Bear Encounters and you're in on a Friday night, there's no rhyme, no reason, right? It doesn't matter. Everybody comes in and everybody has a good time. And that in of itself isn't because of me. It's because of the bar staff. It's because of the other DJs. It's because everybody realizes that, hey, this is a safe and fun environment and you can be you.
The commonality is community more than anything.
Correct.
Absolutely. It's especially, you know, now more than ever, it's important to have safe spaces for a community, and I'm very proud to have that at Pedos and at Tidal Wave.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So when you're not DJing, but you're both in like production mode, what's your biggest focus? Is it the vibe? Is it logistics? Is it the lineup?
So if we're talking Tidal Wave, we start in September. We typically start in September, and then we really ramp up February, March, April, May. So those are our biggest pushes to make sure all the rooms are sold, making sure all the DJs are set, all the volunteers are set, et cetera. When we do Bear Encounters, we have decided that we're going to do a month-long calendar event. So that way, everybody knows what's happening because it's always on a Friday. So Matt and I have been good buddies for a while, and I've DJed a couple, and he's DJed a couple of Bear Encounters as well. So we're all in a big family, and he's also DJed at Tidal Wave. So all of the DJs that have played at Bear Encounters will also be playing at Tidal Wave, because we want to make sure that they see a little bit broader than just the bar, right? So we're really super excited.
That's
about
awesome.
That.
And yeah, I love that we saw Moody there last year. So what year is this for Tidal Wave? How many has it been?
This is going to be the
17th year.
Yeah, our 17th year doing it.
Wow. And it's our third to go. So we're very excited. and we're finally in the host hotel.
Right, right. You know, and last year's hotel, you always live and learn, right? So
right.
When we started, you know, it was like we didn't have a hotel. We just had a party at one of the Disney properties that nobody knew about, right? So it was all underground and we were all stealthy, et cetera, you know, and it's grown to this. And for me, like I said, it's so much fun. It's a lot of work. It's a labor of love, but it's so much fun to see every person, like I said, big, small, short, stocky, hairy, whatever it is, feel good in their own skin. I always tell people, whether you're 100 pounds or you're 500 pounds, it's their weekend to shine. We don't allow bullying. We don't allow bashing. We don't allow any of that. And that, to me, we can turn on the TV and see ugly. And we all know, especially this year, how ugly it's gotten. Why do we have to have a safe space embrace that kind of mentality? We don't, and we won't tolerate it. So that's why we put this on.
So to someone who's never been to a bear pool party, because I'm a recent convert, so to speak, I've only been going the last few years and I absolutely love it. What do you say to them to convince them you should go check this out? You should go try this. This is something worth experiencing.
So for a newcomer, you know, for Tidal Wave, Tidal Wave is exactly what you make it. So you can come and lay by the pool and relax. You can go and party 24 hours a day if you'd like to, but it's a space that no matter what you do, you're going to leave there with new memories and a brand new friend set. And a lot of these guys have started off with 1 year and they've come for every year and they've come,
oh wow,
you know, year after year, and they've made new friends or lifelong friends. We've had people come out that have gotten into relationships before. People have gotten married. We had a whole wedding at Tidal Wave.
Oh, that's awesome.
We had 10 couples get married at Tidal Wave in Orlando. It's
at the same time or
at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
At the same time.
Oh wow. How cool is that?
And a mass wedding. And it's a place that you can forge tons of new relationships and make lots of memories and just be your best self.
Right.
This is a space for you to come and be your best.
You know, we encourage people that have never been, because there's some stigma with a bear event. Oh, they're not going to like me because I'm not a bear, or they're not going to like me because I'm chubby, or they're not going to like me because, and I tell those type of people, you know what? Then you come with me. You come under my wing. I'll introduce you to everybody. I said, or we'll put you in as a volunteer and you can check people's bags and say hi to people. You can, you know, that way you can break out of your shell. Oh, I'm really shy. It's okay. It's okay to be shy. I said, just stick with us. We'll get you to that point. You know, we added a newcomer type of event, right? So those people that didn't know what to expect, we did a 101, you know, we have a singles mixer and couples mixer. So now that they can get to know each other, right? One of the things that has been asked is, why don't you guys have a playroom? And I have to say, that's not what Tidal Wave is about. You know, Tidal Wave has never
been. You have a whole hotel.
Well, so you can tell
people. Go to your room.
That. You can tell people that, but they still want to know why, you know, or why isn't there not an excursion to a spa? And once again, I tell them, this is not what this is about. There are other events out there that cater to that, but that's not what this is. This is about everybody having fun together, whether you're doing the drag brunch or doing bingo or trivia or karaoke or whatever it is. We want to make sure that you're having a good time. And I really take the surveys at the end of the year to heart, you know, to try to figure out, because at the end of the day, it's not my event or David's event or Tidal Wave's event. It's the customer's event. So whatever we can do to make this more pleasurable, make this more fun, make this more inclusive, that's what we do. And I've always had that mentality. Luther Vandross once said, because his mic wasn't working, that he stopped. He did. He stopped the concert 15 minutes in. And he said to the crowd, "I apologize, but my mic isn't right." And when he got back on stage, like, everybody was like, "Well, we didn't hear it, right? What's he talking
right.
about?" But he got back on stage, he goes, "It's working now. And I have to tell you, we don't mess with your entertainment dollar." So I've always took that adage, you know, and I've always had that mantra of, this is their event, you know, whatever we can do to give back to this event, that's what we're going to do.
And it shows. That's why this continues to grow. That's why it's so exciting.
Well, thank you.
That's why we keep coming back. We love it. It's one of our favorite events. It's, I've already got my vacation. At the start of the year, I put my vacation in January, my first day after the start of the year for this event.
Oh, well, that to me just touches my heart and just makes my eyes, you know, swell up, you know. And people also have asked, you know, why are you doing it on a Wednesday? I said, well, because Juneteenth, as we know it right now, is a holiday. It's a national holiday. So those people that want to come in on Wednesday are more than welcome to come in on Wednesday. They have Thursday off. And the only day they have to take off right now is Friday, because it used to be, oh, I have to take 4 or 5 days off. Not anymore. And once again, we're excited to be bringing it closer into town. So everybody within the arenas area or by the tool shed or wherever they're going to go can get there easily. Right. And so we're excited about that.
And where is the new location again this year?
So there's two. So we have the Palm Springs Hilton, and that's going to be the host hotel. But we also have the Zozo as our overflow hotel. And the Zozo is going to host the drag brunch, and they're going to host the opening party for everybody that's in Palm Springs.
Excellent. And for folks listening right now and that want to be a part of the next Tidal Wave, how can they get their tickets and book their rooms?
So you can book your tickets online at tidalwaveparty.com. Once you purchase your passes, you'll get the book confirmation email from Eventbrite, and the hotel booking link is in that email.
Excellent. And is there still room at the host hotel?
There is still room at the host hotel and at the overflow hotel.
Oh, no, yeah. So the other thing is, for those people who are in town, right, that only want to come to the pool parties or to the dances, there's those tickets available as well.
Excellent. And if people want to follow you on social media, how can they find you?
They can find us on Facebook at Tidal Wave Party and on Instagram at Tidal Wave Party.
Anything else that you want to make sure that the audience knows?
If you do come this year and I'm running around like Sonic the Hedgehog, just grab me. And say, "Are you Danny?" And those people that are registering, you will see David. You can't help miss his beautiful blue eyes.
I agree. And I can also attest that no matter what Danny has going on, if you've got a question or you've got something to tell him, he stops and listens. I've seen him running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and we had an issue, and he stopped, took care of our issue, and then moved on with whatever the craziness he had. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That, again, that's why your party is a success. That's why we always love coming to it. It's like I said, it's a staple for us every year.
I always laugh when you say that, because the first couple of days, I always asked David, I said, "Dave, did you eat?" David's like, "Yeah, I think." And I'll say, "Yeah, I had a Tootsie Roll in the morning, and, you know, and a couple of energy drinks, and now I'm still going, you know." So
that's not eating, but yes, I know. I know those days.
Right.
Alrighty, guys, thank you so very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, and congratulations on the new set of podcasts. We're excited about this.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX Podcast.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about HIV services. Live and love stigma-free of HIV. Today's world, HIV is very treatable and preventable. So in my opinion, fighting stigma of people living with HIV and testing for HIV is the first step. Whether testing for the first time or living with HIV, care and support are available throughout Phoenix. Share this message with your friends and family and let them know you'll be there for them no matter what. HIV testing is quick, free, and confidential, and results can come in just minutes. And if someone tests reactive for HIV, treatment helps people live a long, happy, healthy life and keeps the virus undetectable, meaning the virus can't be passed on to others sexually. We are all in this together. All over Phoenix, trusted providers are offering care, connection, and compassion without judgment. Check out the website hivaz.org for more information and to link to a provider. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it!
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you, thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dynamolical.
Cry, you miserable queens!
Igor? Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that love to use, you become a zero.
God, who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Girl, I'm a super queen.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
All right, everybody, it's time to relax, recharge, and maybe learn a thing or two about the healing power of touch. Today, we're welcoming someone who's not only got the hands of magic, but someone who brings a deep sense of care to every event he's a part of. You may have seen him offering massages at Tidal Wave or know him as the man behind Kilted Paws Massage Therapy, a licensed clinical massage therapist traveling the country and helping folks feel better in their bodies. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Ben Volkman.
Thank you, thank you.
All righty, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us. For those meeting you for the first time, can you tell us about Kilted Paws and how you got started?
So, long story short is during COVID, I used to be an IT manager, and during COVID, I got to that point where I was burnt out and couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. So I took some sabbatical time and did some travel. And along my travels, I found a bunch of people who were always stressed out. You know, COVID was a very stressful time for everybody, including me, even on my sabbatical, even though I tried to make it as relaxing as possible, which that whole story is all available on my YouTube page. But if people really want to spend the time going through all of those, but basically, I had a bunch of people who were like, hey, aren't you trying to figure out what you want to do with your life? And I'm like, yeah. And I would see them, you know, in pain or whatever, or stressed out over stuff. And I would go over and I'd offer to rub their shoulders or whatever. And they were like, you know, you're really good at that. I'm like, you know, people have been telling me since I was 13 that I had a great touch and I needed to go to school and learn how to massage beyond what I naturally did. And people were like, you should really do that. So it took me 4 months after the first person told me you should really do that to finally get to the point in my head where it was like, you know, maybe this is something I should give it a try. And in my travels, I ended up down in the Baja, Mexico, where I met up with my sister, who's a massage therapist as well. She actually is one of the international massage champions. She took third place once upon a time, and the International Massage Championships in Norway. And
so it kind of naturally runs in your family.
It kind of does a little bit. And she was like, you know, we traded massages, and she's like, you know, for having no experience, you're really good at this. You really, really should go find some education for this. She's like, I don't tell everybody that they should become a massage therapist because it's not for everybody. But you've got a real touch. And I think, you know, with training, you'd be amazing. And so, of course, I had been hearing that for the 4 months prior to that from everybody. And so hearing it from her, it kind of put it in my head of maybe I really should stop and think about this. So I ended up taking the rest of my sabbatical time to get back to my husband in Iowa at the time. And I'm like, honey, I think I'm going to go back to massage school. And I'm just not sure where I'm going to do it or anything. So I started researching schools, and I had 5 different cities and 5 different schools I was looking at, and I ended up tossing a coin between them. And I ended up, you know, basically kind of bracketing it all the way up so that it was Las Vegas versus Seattle and Chicago versus Denver and Albuquerque, New Mexico versus Denver and so on until it finally got down to Denver was the winning place. And I had looked for, there was even one that was in Iowa, not too far away from where my husband was living. But, you know, so I threw that in the mix as well. And I ended up moving to Denver. And so I got here and I was going to go to a particular massage school across town from where I was living. And I couldn't get in. Admission issues were aplenty. And at the time I was working for a hospital ER department because they had offered me a schedule that would work with the school schedule I was looking at. So that I was working Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, and I would have Monday through Friday at school. And then they were just like, I just couldn't get into the school for some reason. And every time I would see a massage therapist come into the ER, I would talk to them and I'd pick their brain. And I was like, hey, if you're going to do this all over again, where would you go? And I had 4 different people who told me this school called Full Circle. And I was like, you know what? I got to look this place up because I've had 4 people now tell me this. And I remember looking at it as one of the schools potentially and then had dismissed it because of the student aid wasn't federal student aid. It was private student loans. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go talk to these people, see what they have, see what the loan situation is and so on. Got all the way through all of that. Got in, talked to them. Had no problem getting in to see them, came in, did my interview, saw the school, talked to the instructors. You know, they talked to me, make sure that this was really something I wanted to do. And then they showed me this technique called SMRT, which was something that they had developed in Vail, working on injured skiers all the time. And I was like, they took my hand, they did this thing to my hand for about 2 minutes and then gave me my hand back. And I was like, is that really my hand? Because it does not feel like my hand anymore. it was so shocking, the complete difference, and that it was so gentle and took so little time to completely release all the tension out of my hand. And I was like, I need to know what this is. This was amazing. You know, I need to, you know, learn more from this. And so found out that they taught a very balanced Eastern and Western massage, Eastern and Western medicine program, and was like, sure, let's do this. So I signed up for it. Turned out the loan terms were actually super reasonable, and so I started school. And year program flew by. It seemed like it was forever, but it flew by, and I had an amazing class and got out of it and was like, okay, now what? So I ended up going into practice right away. A lot of my practice clients from school ended up becoming regular clients and helped supported me through those beginning months. And then I started picking up contract jobs and working for different companies and continuing to work on my own, trying to build everything together. I was so thrilled when I put out the application last year for Tidal Wave to be my very first event to event at. And it was one of those kind of things when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I'll do massage therapy. It'd be great to be that traveling bear massage therapist who goes to all the circuit parties. And, you know, I just go from party to party to party and I just massage all these, you know, amazing hot men all over the place. And that would be awesome. And then, you know, the whole thing becomes a tax deduction because it's all business expenses.
Sure. Yeah. You're going there to work it.
I'm going there to work it. I'm working in more than one way. But I also wanted to be able to help people too. So my big thing has always been, I want to make, you know, want to do some things that are going to make humanity better. So whether it's helping people take them out of pain or helping them just feel better, feeling like, you know, they deserve to be touched, it was a really big thing. And then just experiencing weekly massage myself, I found that my body responded to it in ways that I totally did not expect, where I started feeling a lot better. My knee pain started going away. My low back pain started going away. I started losing some weight. Granted, some of that was activity and being in elevation here in Colorado, a mile high in more than one way, typically.
That's what we love about Denver.
Gotta love Denver. So then I just kind of kept on going with it. And as people were trying to figure out, as I was trying to figure out a name for my company, as I was coming up towards the end of it all, during my practice time, I was living in an apartment that had no AC. Well, we had a AC and it was all the way in the front of the apartment by the front door, but my room was all the way in the back of the apartment. So I had fans running and the windows open and just anything to cool off. So I was like, you know, whatever I can strip off to be as comfortable as possible, I was stripping off. And since I was required to actually have clothing on, I decided to go kilted during my practice time. And every guy loved it. They were like, that's amazing. And I had these really lightweight kilts that I got from Go Naked. From Go Naked magazine, that they had once upon a time, and they were absolutely amazing for it all. And it was very lightweight, very comfortable, and I had free range of motion. I could do all my work that I needed to without burning up to death. And people were like, you should use that kilt thing as, you know, part of who you are, to identify you as being somebody special. And so I was like, okay, you know, sure. So I was trying to figure out, I wanted to keep the bear identity to some extent, but I didn't want the whole bear paws, because no offense to all of the wonderful bear paw massage therapists that are out there, there are way too many of you, to count. And I wanted to have something really unique. So, putting the kilt with the paws kind of made sense to me. So I came up with Kilted Paws Massage, and that's who I became. I do have people locally who are like, do you do animal massage? That's like, no.
I would have never thought of it that way. But I could see that, because there are people of a certain income that can afford to do that for their animals.
Right. I actually have friends who are who do dog grooming for, you know, they do on-site dog grooming. And they were like, you know, you should look at doing animal massage, and we could use you as part of our is our dog grooming, business and as an add-on type of thing. And we make really good money. And so I looked into it. I have to go to not only to massage school, but then I also have to go to veterinarian school in order to be able to do animal massage. And I'm like, I'm not going to become a vet. So I stuck with human animals instead, all the bears, otters, cubs, chubs, everybody else all under the umbrella. And so I found out that this school was one of the best schools in the world for medical massage therapy, which happened to be 5 minutes away from my home, and which was totally awesome. Totally understated all the way across the board. But when I started reaching out to people and saying, hey, this is where I'm going, they were like, and these are all people in the massage scene. They're like, who's your instructor? And I tell them, yeah, it's Miss Lewis. And she's like, oh my God. She's like one of the best. She travels around the world teaching her massage technique. And you're learning it as part of your basic program. You've got a step up in ways that most people never dream about. And I was like, awesome. So I've become a massage therapist full time and I love it. I was invited to start teaching at the school and as a teaching assistant. And I have my own clinic and I started working in Colorado Springs doing medical massage at a clinic for veterans. And it's been so rewarding to see people go from having real trouble trying to get from point A to point B, being able to get out of their vehicle and go to the grocery store, whatever, to actually being able to get up and walk a mile and a half walk all of a sudden, or to be able to turn their head all the way around so they can properly drive or whatever without lots of pain and so on. So it's been incredibly rewarding for me to be able to just be like, yes, this is who I am. I am a clinical massage therapist who really helps people. And I really make a difference in people's lives, which is really cool.
And I can attest to that. Full disclosure, I have had a massage from Kilted Paws and plan to at the next Tidal Wave event. So
I am definitely looking forward to it.
When you're at an event like Tidal Wave, what's it like offering a massage in a space that's, a festive, social, and so high energy?
Tidal Wave was really cool. Working with the folks there, they were able to set me up in a nice conference room that was a little bit just outside of the vendor hall. So I wasn't actually in the hustle and bustle of the vendor hall and had kind of a private space. So it was really nice because it gave people an opportunity to be able to kind of decompress a little bit from the event and to cool off and to just kind of relax and let go. Tidal Wave last year was in Palm Springs, and Palm Springs in June got up to 117 degrees outside, so the AC had a lot of trouble keeping up with it.
Yeah, that's just average for us here in Phoenix.
It was like, okay. I kind of switched. Instead of doing everything hot stone, I switched to cold stones, and I had both available. Just trying to find ways to help people relax and playing some soft music. And I set up some kind of mood lighting in the conference room, so it wasn't just the bright fluorescence beaming down on us all day. Chilled out, relaxed, and had a good time. It was really kind of weird because I would go from a really quiet little room to going back out into the vendor hall where it was really noisy, or going out to the pool area where it was even noisier. The big party area. But it was really nice because people would come in and they were like, this is really nice. It was really comfortable and really relaxed. I try to make sure that I had enough time between everybody to be able to take some time for me and to make sure that they had plenty of time to get dressed instead of saying, hurry up, hurry up. I have somebody else on the table coming type of thing. There was no hurry with it, which was great. And, that definitely came across in the work as well, because it allowed me to really take the time to really help people at the same time. And it was very rewarding for me because I found out that there were a lot of people who don't get massaged typically. And, they saw my growler shout or whatever that said, hey, or my text messages on Telegram saying, hey, I'm doing massages. Here's where I'm at, et cetera. here's my booking link if you want to do it, or I can, you know, set you up, just give me your info. Went through that whole process. That was really easy to set up and everything with them. And it just made it so relaxing and comfortable. People were like, hey, I'm so glad that you're a Big Bear massage therapist on top of that. Cause you know, I sometimes feel a little bit intimidated by going to somebody who's this little tiny therapist, and you know, I'm this 300, 400 pound bear who's coming in and looking at you and like, are you going to really be able to do anything for me?
Right. No, I understand that, because I occasionally have to go to the mall for a massage, and look, my mom was a tiny Asian woman, and I love tiny Asian women. And yes, they have a lot of gusto, but they are not, they do not have the upper body strength as a big bear.
No, they may use their feet in order to be able to do it all, but
right.
They will find a way to make you be like, oof, but you know, they're definitely working for it,
but it's not the same.
It's definitely not the same.
Yeah.
Definitely not the same. And the nice thing is that, you know, my techniques are designed so that they're designed to save my body while at the same time maximizing the effect for my client. So I don't need to put a lot of pressure into things to get the body to fully relax and to let go, because I use medical techniques that are designed to work with the nervous system, where it's basically, it tells your nervous system it's okay to relax. We kind of hold it there for a little bit, so the nervous system suddenly kicks in and says, hey, these muscles are too tight. Why are they so tight like this? And it lets them go. And then I can work on them without it being so painful, because a lot of the pain associated with massage is because the muscles are so tense and so tight. So it allows me to be able to work a lot deeper into the muscles without the pain and without killing myself trying to beat through the tissue to get it to relax. Which is really cool.
That's excellent. And so beyond physical relaxation, what kind of like emotional or energetic benefits do people tell you that they experience from a session with you?
Most people feel very, very recharged from it. So I naturally do a lot of energy work whenever I do massage work. I'm a natural energy healer as well. So whether people ask for it or not, it's just something that I use naturally in the process of giving massage work. And so people will feel really, really recharged, really refreshed. They'll feel like their body has just completely let go of everything, kind of grounds everything out at the same time with it, gets rid of some of the stuff that's hanging on in the background, and just, you know, allows them to be able to feel like they can face the world again and or go take a nap, either or. And then, right, yeah, so they can actually really let go and relax and, you know, continue on with whatever it is that they're doing, which was, you know, really amazing and great, because people were like, I feel so much better and I can now go out and party. And I remember one client last year, they saw me early on in the event, and then I saw them later on over at one of the excursions, and they were like, can't tell you how much you helped us, because we've been able to fuck for hours and hours and hours and hours. And, you know, our back hasn't been killing us like it normally would after the first couple. And they're like, this has been like 3 days now. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you. It's like, okay.
And that's the kind of Yelp review you really want to see posted.
I was just like, I was so charmed by it and taken back at the time, because I was like, well, that wasn't exactly my intention, but I'm glad it helped. I'm glad you're having a great time.
Hey, benefits are benefits, right? Right? Well, what is it that you wish people understood about therapeutic touch more? Especially in
touch is a very powerful thing in our community. And a lot of us realized how much we needed interaction with other human beings during COVID. There are a lot of people who are afraid of being touched or feel like, don't like being touched. But touch is such an essential part of being human that allows us to really expand out and, you know, reach out to other people. It has psychological impacts to us. It has physiological impacts to us, where massage can actually help people who have mental disorders now. They're doing research on this where it does help with depression. It does help with schizophrenia. It does help with autism. It does help with all of these mental disorders that we have so many issues with in our society. And LGBT folks have a tendency to be very isolated and really not look for, we're always looking for touch, but we're typically looking for sexual touch. And having a non-sexual touch can be so incredibly healing that it allows us to really blossom forth in who we are as people, so that we can actually just be not just sexual beings, but we end up being so much more suddenly because we feel good about just mentally and physically all the way through that. So it's really, really incredible what the power of touch can have for people. And it's always unique for every person. So some people, you know, they're just having a really bad day, et cetera, or things just haven't gone right. At events, that's, hey, that guy I was chasing after, he went after somebody else, and, you know, I'm really bummed out about it, but, you know, he's probably going to be a whore and come back around anyway, but, you know, I'm really bummed out. And yes, having somebody who's like, come here, let me work on your body, let's chill out, let's relax, and having your entire body worked on is so amazing, even though a therapeutic touch is not like an erotic touch. So even when I'm working through like groin muscles and such, it doesn't typically turn people on unless they're into pain. Typically a lot of folks are like, well, what if I get hard in front of the massage therapist or whatever? It's like, no, it's fine. You can't control that all the time. But the touch really allows them to let go and to feel valued and to feel like, hey, you know, somebody's actually willing to touch me. Yes, you know, I might be paying them for that touch, but they're actually somebody who really cares about what it is that they're doing, is really trying to figure out what's going on with your body, and really is going to give you advice and feedback on what's going on in your body and say, hey, you know, this is something that's going on here. I can tell you that these are things that can be fixed, but we need to find somebody who can fix them for you. And they're like, but no, everybody's told me I can't have that fixed or whatever. And, you know, so it's really kind of cool in that way also, because the touch experience just allows them to find hope again in their own body, and finding comfort in their body as well, because somebody else has been willing to extend that to them.
So that kind of like leads perfectly into this next question, which is, for someone who's listening, who's never had a professional massage before, what would you say to help ease their nerves and encourage them to give it a try?
So my best advice for somebody who's never had massage is find somebody, you know, that you can get referred to. Find somebody that is in the community. Go out to the LGBT commerce in your local area and Chamber of Commerce, look on their site. There's generally a massage therapist out there who's LGBT friendly, body positive, whatever it is that makes you kind of afraid of going out to see them, go out there, find them, and, you know, just say, hey, I've never had a massage before. I'm not really sure what's going to go on. They're going to walk you through the entire process. You don't have to remove all your clothing for your first massage. We can totally do complete body massage through the clothes. It does make life a lot more difficult for us, and you won't get as good of a massage in that process, but it definitely will give you that experience to be able to feel that touch and to feel somebody who can actually work through your muscles and work through your body and make you feel better. It's definitely well worth doing.
Kind of like baby steps.
It is a baby step, yeah. I mean, and if you want to, you know, wait till you get to an event. A lot of the events now have one or two massage therapists out there who travel like I do. I only do a couple of events a year, and most of the year I'm back here at home in Denver. And I have folks who travel to Denver who have found me, and, you know, whether they see my ad in Go Naked or seen my ads on Growler or something and say, hey, I'm interested in a massage. I'm going to be visiting XY dates, and say, okay, well, I have these openings. You know, go ahead. Here's my booking link. Go ahead and set up a session, and, you know, I can come to you or you can come to me. A lot of massage therapists are very versatile with that. Some of us do mobile massage where we'll go and meet you at your hotel room. Some of us are like, hey, come and see us at the office. We're not too far away. And, you know, the power of massage is really, really unique, and it can really change your life in different ways, depending on who it is that's doing it. There's a lot of crappy massage therapists out there, but even a crappy massage is still amazing. And I have definitely had my fair share of crappy massage therapy. Because as a massage therapist, and I tell this joke to everybody, I'm like, what do you think that massage therapists do to take care of their bodies? We go and get massage.
Makes sense.
That we believe so strongly in what it is that we do, that we do it for ourselves on a regular basis in order to be able to maintain our own bodies with as physical of a job as it is, so that we can actually continue to offer that to others. There's a lot of massage therapists who burn out after about 5 years, but the ones who have been around for a lot longer, they do it partially because they love it, but also because they take care of their own bodies by getting that regular work done to themselves.
So they practice.
Me personally, I get a massage every week. So, yeah, and if I can manage it, I'll get massaged twice a week. But it definitely makes a huge difference. And having those people out there, they're used to seeing everything. They've seen all kinds on their table. Most tables that are out there will support anywhere between 600 pounds up. My table supports 1,500 pounds. So I can literally have the 600 pound bear on my table or tub on my table and still get up on top of them and work their back if I need to on top of the table and not have to worry about it breaking underneath us.
Wow.
So, you know, and a lot of massage therapists have that equipment is designed to hold your weight. So you don't have to worry about the weight out there. Real massage therapists who are licensed and everything, they've gone through the training. They're out there. They've got the equipment to be able to take care of you. And they're going to do a good job. And you know what? You go out there, you find somebody, you feel better, go explore somebody else. You know, if you don't like something the first time, try it again.
Right.
By somebody else. And somebody else is going to have different training. They're going to have different techniques. And they're going to offer something completely different. And, you know, and it's going to provide, still every time it's going to be a personalized service for you. They'll do exactly what you want them to do. Well, within reason. Yeah. Happy endings. You know, I like to say that I don't offer happy endings. My only happy ending is happy muscles. Definitely, you know, they're out there and their goal is to try and make you feel better and to do things that are good for your body. And, you know, it is your massage and your body that they're touching. So don't be afraid of reaching out and saying, hey, I've never had massage. I don't know what the pressures are going to be like. Can you kind of give me an overall massage of, you know, let's see if it gets to be too deep or it starts to hurt too much for some reason, tell them, hey, that's a little too heavy, too, you know. Speak up to them. Don't be afraid of telling them that. They value that, because if you don't, then they're just going to continue doing what they're doing, and then you have a miserable experience. And, you know, whereas if you can speak up, then they'll have a much better experience for you and can offer you a much better, you know, thing all the way across the board. Something's not working so great, you know, they can change their technique. They may not know if you don't tell them. They don't have any idea that they need to change what they're doing.
They're not psychics. They're therapists, massage therapists.
Right. I mean, for the most part, we can feel some of it, but you know, there comes a point where we can't.
Right. Ben, well, thank you for all the work that you do, helping people feel more comfortable, connected, and cared for their bodies. For folks heading to Tidal Wave this year, how can they connect with you or book time for a session?
So they can connect with me either on Telegram or through my website. Telegram, my Telegram handle is KiltedPaws, KiltedPaws. And I'm in the Telegram groups for Tidal Wave. You can also reach out to me on my website. It is https://, kiltedpaws.massagetherapy.com. And I already have the options for choosing Tidal Wave massage up there on the website. You just go up there, select that option, and it will give you the available timelines and time dates that are available for it all. And it will send a note over to me, and I'll confirm with you, and we'll just confirm all the time and place and everything else from there. But those are the two best options. You can also reach out to me by phone. My phone number is 720-663-8864. And that is my massage business phone number. If I'm in a session, it'll just go to voicemail and I'll call you back at my earliest convenience. Just, you know, let me know you're going to Tidal Wave and you want to schedule a massage, the date and time you're thinking about, and we'll see what I have open and, you know, can kind of reach out around that. So there's definitely three different ways to do that. You know, send me a Telegram, give me a holler, go to my website, book something on there directly, and we'll arrange for a massage. So I'll be offering 60, 90, and 2-hour massages at Tidal Wave this year. It's really, really convenient because I don't do any upcharging. The only thing that's not entirely true. I upcharge for CBD oil because that stuff cost me a small fortune. But that's just a $35 charge per session. But otherwise, all the other tools that are out there that I use at my disposal to help you feel better, I don't charge anything extra for hot stones or for towels or cold stones or massage gun or anything else that I use, cupping, things like that, things that people typically get nickeled and dimed for doing massage. I don't charge for any of that. That's all included in it. So my goal is to make sure that you have a much better massage experience and to take care of your body as best I can and to use whatever tools are at my disposal to be able to do that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
This is what community sounds like.
Hey everyone, happy Pride Month. It's me, Apollo.
And I'm Delos, and we're both bringing you this week's puppy play events happening around the Phoenix area. Tuesday, see Pups and Friends compete in the Rising Star Talent Show at Stacy's at Melrose, hosted by the charismatic Mia Adams, starting at 8 p.m.
Wednesday, Get Up and Go-Go Amateur Go-Go Night, hosted by Pup Bolt at Anvil. Dancers sign up at 9 p.m. Event starts at 10.
On Thursday evening, catch the Cirque du Soleil Trade Show at Cobalt Phoenix, hosted by the one and only Bearded Beauty Trey, starting at 8 p.m.
If you're feeling frisky and Zoomies is your speed, meet up with the Zoomies Club at The Rock Phoenix at 8 p.m., hosted by Pup Stitch. It's hot out, so bring a water bottle and stay hydrated.
If you're feeling friskier, head on down to the Milkshake Fetish Ball, a monthly kink and fetish party at Stacy's at Melrose, starting at 9 p.m.
Lastly, after a week full of debauchery, confess your sins at Sunday service, drag brunch at Stacy's at Melrose starting at a new time of 12 p.m. Live performances by Trey, CCTV, and music by Pup Ivory.
For full event details, including cost, gear level, and more, sniff amrypack.com/events. We hope everyone has a fantastic week and an amazing Pride Month.
Need a little daddy getaway? Mr. Anvil Phoenix has got just what you and your daddy need to escape the grind in style. We're talking two-night stay at the Hyatt Place Tempe University. Breakfast for two each morning, a $50 gift card to Culinary Dropout, a handmade leather flogger by Wayne Teske, a leather pride duffel bag filled with sexy toys, champagne, and more. It's over $600 worth of delicious daddy-level decadence, and it could be yours for just $1 a ticket, or six for $5, if you're feeling lucky and thrifty. The winner will be drawn Sunday, June 15th at 4:30 p.m. during the Daddy's Demo Day Party at Anvil. Can't make it? No worries. You don't have to be present to win. Just show up, shout out, or show Daddy the ticket later. We're not judging. All proceeds go to the Mr. Anvil Phoenix Travel Fund, so you're helping support queer leather visibility while potentially scoring a weekend of your dreams. So go ahead, grab a ticket, call your daddy, and start planning your escape.
Uplifting the community.
One business at a time.
It's the Business Spotlight.
You're about to hear how one man turned a Palm Springs signal into the international voice for the LGBTQ+ community. If you've ever wished for a space on the dial that truly sounds like us, this is the story behind the station that made that happen. For us here at Gay PHX, he's the reason we believed that something like this was possible. We don't have a tower, we can't afford a transmitter, so we built a website and we started this podcast. He showed us the power of building your community and broadcasting pride 365 days a year. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, the creator of K Gay Radio, the one and only Brad Furr.
Well, thank you very much. And if this were a leap year, we'd have 366 days.
Right?
It's only a leap year, so we'll deal with it.
But it's going to feel like a really long year.
Boy, it certainly has already. I can't tell you. You know, it's interesting. Thank you for the introduction, and thanks for having me on. And Billy, you've been such a huge supporter. You and Brian both have been such huge supporters of ours, and I can't tell you how much we genuinely appreciate it. You have a love of the radio business that shows through, and I really love what you are doing in Phoenix, and I really appreciate everything. And I want to say, you know, we started out with K-Gay. It was part of a nonprofit organization called Coachella Media. And when that was first formed, myself, Chris Schievel, our program director, John Taylor, our morning host, we came on board to help the nonprofit out. I already had Gay Desert Guide, which is like your Gay PHX. I already had that going here in Palm Springs, but radio was the love of my life. So I really wanted to have a radio station. This nonprofit came along. We all kind of came on board. And after about a year, the nonprofit started to crash and burn. We left. COVID happened. And then I was able to come back just after COVID and buy the radio station from the original owners. And that really set us on a path to kind of relaunch K-Gay. We've been going, I think, for almost 4 years again now. And it's been really an incredible journey. But what I want to say about that is, what's changed is, you know, we would inject a little politics when life was better. You know, we would certainly talk about political topics, but we talked a lot about the LGBTQ+ community. We had a lot of rights. I think we had a lot of privilege, may not be the right word, but we certainly thought we were on a good trajectory as a community. And as soon as Trump came into office, all of that changed. And what I would say about that is the station, even though we're an entertainment-based radio station and people love the music mix and all of that, we've really had to take a hard right, so to speak, in terms of starting to talk about politics and how it's affecting our community so greatly.
And how do you find that balance, especially when you had, like, for example, you had the bombing happen?
Right. Well, the bombing was kind of a one-off incident. We had an IVR clinic that was bombed a few weeks ago. We actually did some reporting from that. And then John Taylor, our morning host, had some interviews with community leaders, including our mayor, on the days following. But what we've done is the morning show with John Taylor. John tends to focus more on the fun things that are happening in Palm Springs. Those are the community events, the plays, the theater, the personalities that are coming into town, the Trixie Mattels of our town, for example. But we have had to go into more political situations, talking about how our LGBTQ plus community is impacted mentally, and talking to the LGBTQ center about how many more people they are seeing, talking about the increased needs for our food banks and things along those lines. So some of those interviews have taken a more serious tone. And Chris in the afternoon, Chris Schievel, our afternoon guy and program director, Chris has a lot of fun with it. What he does is he takes some headlines from the news literally as it's happening. And of course, there's crazy every single day. So Chris goes on and he pokes fun at it, but in a way that we all know it's a serious situation and that it's something that we as a community need to pay attention to, but he doesn't bring you down. And that's what I really appreciate about what Chris does on his show.
Yeah, I agree. Chris has got a real talent for keeping me informed and laughing about it at the same time, even though I want to cry.
Exactly. We would like to cry most days, it feels like these days.
So I feel like K-Gay is the Avengers of radio, like talent from across the country came together and bam, gay Avengers of radio. How many years of broadcasting experience does everybody have altogether?
Oh, my God. We have more experience than there are years in the last century and a half, I think. Now, you know, Chris Schievel and I first met in radio in the early 1980s. So now that's 50 some years. Since that's happened, almost 50, 45 years each. So that puts it at 90 years. John Taylor is, I think he's been in radio for 35 or 40 years. And then we have EJ Tyler, our production director, and many other people behind the scenes, including all of our mixed DJs who have wonderful experience in their own right. So yeah, we're approaching bicentennial years of radio experience.
Is there a listener story or moment that stuck with you throughout all the years?
Ooh, that's a really good question. There have been moments that have really brought tears to our eyes as we've done interviews and collected information and heard stories about people. But I think one of the most meaningful things that we did was when Stonewall was approaching its 50th anniversary. We went back and we played the songs from the jukebox at the Stonewall Inn. We actually went through and played a lot of those songs. And we were hearing on the air, we were hearing stories that people were recounting from those days, whether they were there, because very few people were of course, there or whatever. But people who just had memories from all of those songs that were played at Stonewall Inn. And I thought back to the place that I was. I wasn't out at that time. I didn't know anything about Stonewall. And I put myself in the place of those who were brave enough to stand up and fight. And that was really a very touching moment for me, for K-Gay, because it was something really outside of our format. It wasn't necessarily the songs that we normally play, although some were, but some were just like some of the old R&B songs from that day, et cetera.
Wow. I get chills. Now, with all the noise in the media now, you know, we've got streaming platforms, you've got radio, you've got satellite radio, you've got your phone blowing off. How does K-Gay compete with all of that?
That's a really good question. I don't really believe that we compete with all of that. I think we find our niche, we find our place, and we hope that people find us. We don't do this for, you know, we're not trying to get clicks and hits and, you know, so many hours of people streaming us. That's not what's important to us. To us, what's really the thing that we come to work to do every day is that's really to serve our local community here in Palm Springs and the Coachella Valley. But what that does then is it paints a picture and it tells a story that the rest of the world can hear. and they can be a part of what happens here in Palm Springs. And they know that if and when they visit Palm Springs, it will be a safe and inclusive place to come.
Let's talk about this, because it's at a wider audience. That means it's streaming. So you've got streaming fees. How does that differ than broadcasting fees?
Yes. So the short version of that is every time a person streams us outside of the normal listening area of Southern California, that costs us so much per listener per song that is streamed. And what's important about that is we really can't monetize that. I can't charge advertisers for the thousands of people that listen across Europe and in Canada and across South America or any place else in the world, because those listeners are doing so in order to kind of, either get our sense of community or they just love the music. And so those streaming costs drive up our whole cost of operation more than a typical radio station. So we had to do something called Support Your Station. We did a fundraising drive a couple of weeks ago, and the response was just overwhelming. We thanked on the Friday after the fund drive went. It took us like 5 hours to get through all of the thank yous. Within, of course, the music breaks. Hundreds of people made small and large contributions, and I thank you for your contribution for what we did. It was just an amazing experience. But that streaming cost will continue. We want artists to be paid for the music that they are providing and that people are enjoying. But we also couldn't just support this with the normal advertising that people hear on a radio station.
Yeah, I felt like I had to contribute my part because, again, you are the inspiration for a lot of this stuff. I'm the one probably streaming a lot of it too a lot of the time because it's everywhere in my house.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not. You know, you've more than paid your share now. You paid the freight. So thank you so much.
Now, what does Pride mean to you now more than ever after all these years of broadcasting it?
Boy, as I see June Pride Month here, Pride to me means fighting for the rights that we are losing on a daily basis. It means showing people that we will not be silent. It means no one needs to be in the closet. Our transgender brothers and sisters deserve our support, just like we, have supported all the other communities, the marginalized communities over the years in our rainbow and our alphabet. And to me, this is really a time to regroup and to make sure that every one of us makes our voices known. Like Harvey Milk says, you can't be silent. You have to let your friends know, your relatives know. You have to be out and proud. And I think now more than ever, people need to know who we are, that we have influence, that we are just human beings that want to love and be a part of this planet.
It's beautiful. And if there's a message that you hope someone takes away from tuning into KGA, especially younger audience, what do you hope that is?
It ain't bad being older. How's that? So the music that we play spans generations, and I want a young person that hears a Kesha song or hears a brand new song on the radio to be just as engaged with the Sylvester song from the 1970s and to take time to learn about why Sylvester was a big deal in our history as part of the LGBTQ plus community. That's what I think is really important about KGay. We're telling a story, we're telling history, but we're doing so with an eye on the future, not necessarily looking back all the time. The looking back part is important because it is a part of our history, but looking forward and the positive things that will come out of our of all these trials and tribulations that we have, we will get through this.
That doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, right?
There you go.
And how can listeners support what you've built?
Well, kgaypalmsprings.com is our website. And yes, we are still accepting contributions for the Support Your Station campaign. We're only going to do that once a year, but we do leave it up in case someone gets motivated and maybe did not listen. But, you know, we appreciate all the support we've gotten so far. There's two other things you can do. You can certainly listen to the station, enjoy the streaming, enjoy what we do. Send us comments on our social media pages. We use the handle at KGAY1065 because that's the frequency we are on here in the Palm Springs area. And you can, you know, you can just send us some love.
Excellent, Brad. Thank you not just for being here today, but for building something that gave us permission to build and dream bigger. KGA isn't just a station, you know, it's a signal for every queer person. It helps normalize things. You know, that was the thing that I fell in love with. When I listened to it, I heard things that were the same way that I talked to my friends. And hearing that on the radio just changed me.
I really like that point because it has normalized conversations about some things that may have stigma. For example, we have a sex club in Palm Springs called Club 541. They advertise on our radio station. We know that there's a lot of heterosexual people that listen to the station, and yet, you know, no one has, you know, there's been no pitchforks and calls for us to not advertise something like that. And, you know, also when we talk about members of our community and they share their stories about coming out or something bad that's happened to them or even something good that's happened, what I really appreciate is those allies that we have in our community have kind of gotten to know some of the things that we talk about, and they will talk back to us and they'll kind of feed that back to us. And sometimes it's a little embarrassing. Sometimes they don't quite understand what we're talking about, but then they get, oh yeah, we get that. And that's a fun part of the station as well.
Yeah. It's like also watching Mid-Century Modern, that new sitcom that is, you know, the gay Golden Girls. That feels like our conversations. It makes us feel normal.
Exactly. And it was even set here in Palm Springs.
Yes. Which is so great. Brad, we're so grateful. We're inspired and we're proud to have you as part of our Gay PHX story as well.
Thank you so much, and proud to be associated with you. And thanks for all of your support. It's meant a lot to us, and I'm rooting for your success and for your growth in Phoenix.
Pride isn't just a weekend.
It's a way of life.
Celebrate all month long
on the Gay PHX Podcast.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You want to experience Pride Night at Chase Field like a VIP? Gay PHX and Oliver Electric are giving away two diamond-level seats to the Diamondbacks Pride Night game on Thursday, June 27th. And yes, parking is included.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You'll enjoy 10% off concessions and 20% off gear at the team shop. You can even order food from your seat with a QR code. Enter now at GayPHX.com. Bonus entries for following us, Oliver Electric, and subscribing to the Gay PHX Podcast. We'll draw the winner on Sunday, June 22nd, and announce the name in our June 24th episode. Don't miss this Pride Night hookup. Go enter now.
Pride lives here.
What an episode. And before we say goodbye, we want to take a moment and just say thank you. Thank you for making it this far in the episode. It truly means the world to us. This podcast isn't just content, it's community. It's incredible how many people we met this past week who lit up the moment that they heard the Gay PHX podcast exists. There's a space made just for them to feel connected, celebrated, and seen. I want to tell you something from the heart. Years ago, I worked at 1010 and 1480 AM, the Air America affiliates right here in Phoenix. And back then we had a transmitter, radio tower, signal maps, and all the old school infrastructure. But most important thing that I learned was this. It's not the tower that builds the community, it's the voice. And we still have ours. Loud, clear, and rooted in love. So if you enjoyed the show, please help us spread the word. Share it, post it, tell a friend, or mention it to someone who needs a little more pride and connection in their playlist. Because the more people who find us, the stronger this community becomes. And next week, we've got something fabulous coming your way. We're sitting down with the creator of Maxila Wow, the animated drag superhero you've heard the trailer for earlier in this episode. Her story is wild, heartfelt, and unforgettable. And for those heading to Tidal Wave, you're in for a treat. You're going to be getting a special poolside screening of her origin story during the weekend, so don't miss it. And let's talk giveaways, because everything we're offering this month is for you. We're giving away a pair of Kesha tickets to see her Tits Out tour, courtesy of Live Nation, and a pair of Diamondback Pride Night tickets, thanks to our partners at Oliver Electric. These aren't just promotional clicks. They're not brand gimmicks. They're real tickets, real events, and they're meant to celebrate you. They're a thank you, a gift, an invitation. And all you have to do is say yes. Head to gayphx.com to enter both giveaways and follow us at gayphx.com on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky for bonus entries, surprise chances, and on-site prize drops. And finally, a heartfelt thank you to our incredible guests this week, Danny G and David, the heart and hustle behind Tidal Wave, Ben from Kilted Paws, whose healing hands help bring comfort to every bear he touches, and the one and only Brad Furr, founder of K-Gay Radio, whose voice and vision helped inspire this very show. You made this episode something special. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm Billy Foster. From the studios to the streets, this is the voice of our community. If you like what you heard, be sure to like, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts, and check out gayphx.com for photos from the weekend, our full event calendar, and to tell us who we should feature next. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. See you next week.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.